You're listening to lgradio.online. Welcome to In the Benny Green Archives.
Good afternoon. We have here a metaphysical problem, which is also an ethical teaser. Usually I know where I stand on a question, even if sometimes I stand wrong. But here I'm uncertain for once. People have asked me, do I think what's coming up is right? And I've answered with all the self-confidence of a dogmatic man, I don't know. I haven't the faintest idea. The question is, to what extent ought we to tamper with the recordings of the past? I know people who grumble about the sterling work of Robert Parker, the man who took the hiss out of ancient recordings and made them much more accessible to a new age, and at the same time outrage the antiquaries who collect records because they're old records and who actually prefer their music to appear to be coming out of a sandstorm in the desert. Mr. Parker has my vote, no question of that. Whatever he's up to, Mr. Parker is not tampering with the performance any more than a lady brushing the carpet is changing its appearance. But what I'm about to play this afternoon does change the appearance radically, even drastically, and I'm not sure whether I ought to boo or cheer. The song involved is a sort of goodish second division song, not really a standard, but a sort of superior pop song from another time, the 1950s to be precise. Now, I wouldn't wish to fight battles for the song, and I'd enjoy it greatly if Spike Jones had got around to doing it, but he didn't. I think what really troubles me is not the recording, but what it might lead to. There seems to me to be almost no limit here. People would be able to do whatever they want to whatever they want, all in the cause of getting some good sales figures. Well, that's no sin either, but there should be a limitation of what can and ought to be done. As I say, I just don't know the answer. By now, you must be wondering what on earth I'm going on about. So without any more confessionals, I'll play the offending record. At least I think it's offending. On the other hand, as I say, I just don't know.
Unforgettable. That's what you are.
Unforgettable. Though near or far.
Like a song of love that clings to me. How the thought of you does things to me. Never before has someone been more
unforgettable in every way.
And forevermore.
And forevermore.
That's how you'll stay. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
Thinks that I am unforgettable.
soon. Well, you see what I mean. Natalie Cole, a goodish singer of a lot of worthy songs, has superimposed herself onto the recordings the late father, Nat Cole, made back in what I'll often laughingly refer to as the good old days. There are those who say she didn't ought to have done it. There are others who say if a girl can't sing a duet with her old man, what can she do? Well, being a bit uncertain about the morality, I stick for the moment to the music. And I find it revealing that while Nat Cole, one of the world's great improvisers, was content to sing the tune as written, his daughter is not. And she makes attempts to reshape the melody for no particular reason. Now, when I heard about this recording, I thought perhaps the entire album was in the same necrophiliac mould, but in fact it isn't. What Miss Cole is doing is to sing a lot of her father's big hits for solo. The rest of the new Natalie Cole album is rich in standard songs, and I may as well raise the flag by selecting two, which were the work of Englishmen. Nat Cole enjoyed great success with both of them, and his daughter does well to revive them. And now the first song comes from Brighton.
The very thought of you and I forget to do the little ordinary things that everyone ought to do. I'm living and foolish, though it may seem to me that's everything. The mere idea of you, the longing here for you, you'll never know how slow the moments go till I'm near to you. I see your face in every flower, your eyes in stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my thought of you, the very thought. out of you. My love.
The Very Thought of You, one of the best British ballads ever written. It was the work of Ray Noble, born and bred in Brighton, and the composer of at least half a dozen memorable songs. A lot of people realise that he wrote The Very Thought of You, and a lot more know that he was English. But people sometimes get caught on the wrong foot when you define this next song as homegrown. When people stop to think about it, they say, of course, yes, of course. But most of the time, they just take it for granted and never think to annex it for the crown. It was first heard as a sort of background theme in a movie in 1936, a couple of years before The Very Thought of You. But it didn't register until the 1950s when it blossomed out in another film, this time complete with words.
Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by if you smile through your fear and sorrow. Smile and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Light up your face with gladness. Hide every trace of sadness. Although a tear may
Smile, featured first in the film Modern Times and again in Limelight. It was written for the most part by Charlie Chaplin, a child of Lambeth and Kennington, if ever there was one. Of course, Natalie Cole's version doesn't compare with her father's. And before anybody says that comparisons are odorous, let me ask, who first invited the comparison by messing around with Unforgettable? One of the songs in Natalie Cole's new issue is one of her father's favorites. I read in the accompanying notes that over the years, Nat recorded it 9 times. The implication being that he never used the verse. Miss Cole says that when she first went know with the sheet music with her arranger, Ralph Burns, they were pleasantly surprised by the verse, which sounded to them a piece of genuine musicality. So it is. I don't think I've heard it before, and I don't think I would have nailed it to the tune it belongs to. See if you can do any better. Here is the verse. You have roughly 1 minute in which to identify it.
I never feel a thing is real when I'm away from you. Out of your embrace, the world's a temporary parking place. Mm-hmm. A bubble for a minute. Mm-hmm. You smile, the bubble has a rainbow in it.
Well, I think that's really rather difficult, so let me offer a few more clues as to the identity of the chorus which follows. The song was written for a 1932 Broadway show, one of those turkeys which open and shut very nearly on the same night. But then it was fished out of the score, given a fresh title and placed in a 1933 picture called Take a Chance, starring Lillian Roth. All sorts of songwriters contributed, but it was this inconsequential item which went on to become a great standard. What was it called? Try again.
I never feel a thing is real when I'm away from you. Out of your embrace, the world's a temporary parking place. Mm-hmm. A bubble for a minute. Mm-hmm. You smile, the bubble has a rainbow.
It's only a paper moon sailing over a cardboard sea, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Yes, it's only a canvas sky hanging over a muslin tree, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Oh, that love, that love, that love, yeah, yeah. But yes, it's only a canvas sky hanging over a muslin tree, but it wouldn't.
Paper Moon in Natalie Cole's bilingual version, English and gibberish. The song was written by Harold Arlen and Yip Harburg in the days when they were both making their way. Some of the Nat Cole classics that Natalie revives on her Unforgettable album include Mona Lisa, Too Young, and several other pieces which always made me feel slightly uncomfortable. Once before, when I passed remarks of that kind, a few people wrote in asking if I'd play something of Nat Cole's I did like. And of course, that covers hundreds of recordings. I shall select just two. And the first one may possibly mislead a lot of people into writing irate letters asking me what I think I'm playing at. Well, what I'm playing at is one of my all-time favourite Nat Cole recordings.
Just found joy, I'm as happy as a baby boy when he's playing with a choo-choo toy. When I'm with my sweet Lorraine, she's got a pair of eyes that are bluer than the summer skies. When you see them, you're gonna realize why I love my sweet Lorraine. When it's raining, I don't miss the sun, 'cause it's in my sweetie's smile. Just to think that I'm the lucky one who will lead her down the aisle. Each night how I pray that nobody steals her heart away. I can't wait until that lucky day when I marry my Lorraine. Nobody steals her heart away. I can't wait until that lucky day when I marry my Lorraine. That'll be the day when I marry my Lorraine.
Sweet Lorraine, and wasn't that cold outstanding there? He was indeed at the piano. In 1946, there was a poll winner's recording made in New York featuring all the artists voted top of their sections. Sinatra ran off with the male vocal championship and Nat Cole came out top pianist. Among the other gentlemen heavily featured just now were two of the greatest saxophonists of all time, Coleman Hawkins and Johnny Hodges. But I did say I'd play two favourite Nat Cole recordings, and here's the second. And if anyone ever tries to tell you that popular song is the music of the devil, hit them with this one, because the lyric is based on and was directly inspired by the opening words of the book of Genesis, which, if my memory doesn't deceive me, has something to say about let there be light. Well, this is almost a quote.
Let there be you, let there be me, let there be oysters under the sea, let there be wind, an occasional rain, chili con carne, sparkling champagne. Let there be birds to sing in the trees, someone to bless me whenever I sneeze.
Let there be cuckoos, a lark and a dove. But first of all, please let there be love. But first of all, please let there be love. 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 Let there be love.
Nat Cole with George Shearing at the piano, Let There Be Love. And Shearing wasn't quite the only homegrown influence there. The words to the song were written by the English writer Ian Grant, who told me several things about that song, including two very salient points. First, that he did get the idea for the lyric from the Bible. And second, that after he'd written the song, it lay unrecorded for 19 years until Nat Cole picked it up. Mr. Grant used to say he never had any idea how Nat Cole came by the song, but he was awfully glad he did. Ian Grant became a friend of mine as a direct result of this program. Now, did he ever write anything as ravishing as that? Well, he died a couple of years back still writing, and although he never duplicated that kind of success, he did come up with something late in his life which appealed greatly to quite a different department of my being. The Euston Road section, the down a building section, the music hall section, the section which forever warns me against taking anything too seriously.
Turned out nice again, isn't it?
They're parking camels where the taxis used to be. At all them smart hotels, you'll see them constantly. Now, when a sheik says to the doorman, I think I'll buy this dump, it's the doorman, not the camel, who really gets the hump. They're parking camels where the taxis used to be. Which doesn't seem quite right, I think you'll all agree. Those guests who used to take a village steak so easy to digest, where now they're told that all cold sheep's eyes are much the best. I know it's sad, but I think you'll all agree. They're parking camels where the taxis used to be. Fella went in the Dorchester the other day, said I like this place, put it on the bill. Knees up, mother, brother.
They're parking camels where the taxis used to be. At all the smart hotels you see, they're coming to me.
Now,
where the sheik says to the doorman, I think I'll buy this dog. It's the doorman, not the camel, who's really getting on.
They're parking camels where the taxis used to be.
Which does not seem right, I think that you will all agree. Those guests who used to take a village steak so easy to digest,
where now they're told that all cold sheep's eyes are much the best.
I know it's not true, I think you'll all agree. They're walking the camels where the taxis used to be.
They're parking camels where the taxis used to be. They're parking camels where the taxis used to be.
A brief but stirring extract from the last album Peter Sellers ever made. It was called Sellers Market, and that song always is with me because Sellers used it as the basis for a ridiculous and brilliant fantasy whereby they hold a George Formby impersonation contest at Wembley Stadium. What you just heard was the winning entry. Now, I know it doesn't sound remotely like George Formby, but I did say it was a Peter Sellers recording. I've come across one of those mysterious CDs which drift across from the continent, in this case France, to judge by the artwork, or should I say l'artwork. The album is called L'Art Vocale and it features Ella Fitzgerald. In the years between 1935, when as a teenager she joined the Chick Webb band, to 1939 when Webb died and Ella became the nominal band leader. One of the earlier tracks is not really the Webb band, but only a small group drawn partly from it, with Teddy Wilson added as the pianist and organiser. Now, it looks to me like a calculated attempt to duplicate what Wilson had already been doing for two or three years with Billie Holiday. And why not? My only complaint about this recording is that I wish there were more like it. Perhaps to some ears it sounds a bit quaint. But this is 1936 we're talking about. And I shouldn't be surprised if we all sounded a bit quaint in those distant times.
Come to me, my melancholy baby, cuddle up and don't be blue. All your fears are foolish fancy, maybe. You know, dear, that I'm in love with you. Every cloud must have a silver line. Wait until the sun shines through. So smile, my honey dear, while I kiss away each tear, or else I shall be melancholy too.
Ella Fitzgerald singing an almost indecently old song, Melancholy Baby. It is revealing that Ella seems never have had to learn how to sing in tune or how to make the song swing. She just knew how. The Chick Webb Orchestra was essentially a dance band. Now, that isn't to say it wasn't a great band. It was one of the greatest of its time, but the music was aimed at the dancing public. And that is why some of the repertoire consisted of perishable goods, inconsequential songs which achieved a sort of novelty vogue for a while and were then forgotten. But some of the tunes were better than that, and sometimes they had oddly checkered careers, like time bombs, which explode long after the fuse has been set. In 1934, there was a show on Broadway called New Faces, the idea being that you made a note of the cast because they were all going to become famous one day. Surprisingly, some of them did. I see that these included Nancy Hamilton, who went on to write the words to How High the Moon, Imogene Coco, who later became popular as a bedtime drink, and of all people, Henry Fonda. Although what he was doing in a musical review, I have no idea. Neither did he, I shouldn't be surprised. But there was a song in the show which died a death at the time and then inexplicably became popular 2 years later when Ella recorded it with the Webb band. It was written by someone called Haven Johnson, but I haven't had any success finding out anything about him. But the title of the song may have registered inside the head of Sammy Kahn.
Can't see what love and romance have done to me. I'm not the same as I used to be. This is my last affair. Tragedy just seems to be the end of me. My happiness is misery. This is my last affair. Right from the start, you took my love, tore my heart apart. Now there's nothing new to look forward to. My dreams won't come true. So I'll make a vow, no more to love strife. Cross my heart and I'll seal it now. This is my last affair. Now there nothing new to look forward to. My dreams won't come true. So I'll make a vow, no more to love's shrine will I bow. I cross my heart and I'll seal.
Hello, it's Gerald with My Last Affair. And if you recall, two or three years later, Sammy Kahn wrote a lyric called This Is My First Affair, So Please Be Kind. Now, my CD has a note in French and also a translation into English. And I see that the French half ends with the claim, Ella is la première grande dame de la chanson. No wonder Wellington did so well at Waterloo. But the compilers of the CD have not done nearly so well with their material. This next song is credited to Green and McRae, which is true as far as it goes. But what's missing?
You showed me the way when I was someone in distress, a heart in search of happiness. You showed me the way. My skies were so gray. I never knew I'd feel a thrill. I couldn't dream a dream until you showed me the way. The moment you found me, the shadows around me just disappeared from view. The world became rosy, each corner so cozy, darling, all because of you. You showed me the way. And if I've learned that love can be a paradise for you and me, here's all I can say. You showed me the way.
from view. The world became rosy, each corner so cozy, darling, all because of you. You showed me the way, and if I've learned that love can be a paradise for you and me, here's all I can say.
Another of those very cleverly crafted songs from pre-war days that nobody bothers to write anymore, least of all professional songwriters who can't write any like it. Now, as to Messrs. Green and McRae, Teddy McRae was a big band musician who wrote several songs, including one that I'd like to hear one of these days. It was called You're Too Sharp to Be Flat. Green was a very well-known man called Bud Green, who once wrote a book which he called Writing Songs for Fame and Fortune. And for once it was an apt title, because Bud Green wrote Alabama Bound, Once in a While, Sentimental Journey and A Flatfoot Fluji with the Floy Floy. But there was a third writer involved in You Showed Me the Way, and the name was Ella Fitzgerald. One more glance at this collection of early Ella for several reasons. First, this song coming up is a classic, which was belittled by the man who composed it, Johnny Green, who told me once that Rain Tree County was his best song. This from the man who wrote Body and Soul. Well, I, being the soul of tact, agreed, adding that the Duke of Wellington wrote Satin Doll, but the remark seemed to go well over Mr. Green's feet. Now, the date attaching to this standard ballad is 1931, and the second point worth mentioning is the coda to this recording. Obviously, someone attached to the Webb band wrote this tail to the song and stuck it on, and it's not hard to guess why. It makes the ending sound like an ending, and you have to remember that all this was happening in the dance halls, in Chick Webb's case, probably the Savoy in Harlem, which was famous as Webb's own patch. Strictly speaking, and this is the last point, this isn't Webb's band at all. We are now in the high summer of 1939, and Webb has just died. The band stays the same, but the marquee now advertises the name Ella Fitzgerald and her famous orchestra. Ella was really little more than the nominal leader. Really, everything was run by the musicians, but the arrangement seemed to suit everybody. Everybody, that is, except a pair of brothers, whose name I forget, who acted as agents for the band. And they turned out to be the type of men who would willingly give the artists 10% of everything they earned. Woodhouse's definition, crooked enough to hide at will behind a spiral staircase, was never very far from the mark. Anyway, here is the Ella Fitzgerald Orchestra with the song that Johnny Green thought wasn't as good as Rain Tree County.
You came to me from out of nowhere. You took my heart and found it free. Wonderful dreams, wonderful schemes from nowhere. Made every hour sweet as a flower for me. If you should go back to your nowhere, leaving me with a memory, I'll always wait for your return out of nowhere, hoping you'll bring your love to me.
for your return out of nowhere, hoping you'll bring your love to me. Oh, please don't ever leave me. I never want to be free. It wouldn't be fair for you to go back to nowhere.
Ella Fitzgerald in the summer of 1939, Out of Nowhere, which is where the CD came from. I'd love to know what the royalty arrangements are. I have time to return for a moment before I close with Natalie Cole, whose selection includes a song her father did very well by. It happens to be one of the most contentious songs in the popular catalogue, because a famous suit for plagiarism once upon a time put it onto the front page. In 1919, the writing team of Al Jolson and Vincent Rose came up with a successful song called Avalon. One day, the renowned opera composer Giacomo Puccini happened to hear this song for the first time and found himself humming along with it, as though he knew the tune. He slowly realised he did know the tune because he'd written it. Well, unlike a lot of composers in that situation, Puccini went to law. He sued the publishers of Avalon and won judgment to the tune of $25,000. I will always insist that the story sheds more light on Jolson and Vincent Rose than a thousand Jolson movies. It's a revealing incident, but its main attraction is that it's so funny. At first, I wondered where Jolson or Rose would have been familiar enough with the opera Tosca to have lifted one of its best-known themes. But then when I looked up Vincent Rose, he was revealed to be an Italian-born writer. Rose left for America when he was 17, by which time he must have heard all about Puccini. Anyway, the story is a gift for anybody trying to make sense out of Jolson's career. And yet, a few years back, when some, shall we say, misguided people made a television film about Jolson, they left the incident out. And when I asked why, they said they didn't think it was of any significance. Well, you listen to the theme in Tosca called A Lucivan Le Stella and see if you think it matters. The funny thing is, Puccini, had he only realised it, had written a good jazz theme.
Beside the bay, I left my love in Avalon and sailed away. I dream of him in Avalon from dusk till dawn. And so I think I'll travel on to Avalon.
Good night, Giacomo, wherever you are. That was Natalie Cole singing Avalon, and that's it. See you same time next week.
Yes, I found my love in Avalon beside the bay. I left my love in Avalon and sailed away. Oh, I dream of him in Avalon from dusk until dawn. And so I think
you've been listening to In the Benny Green Archives here on lgradio.online. Please do visit the website to find out when the next episode is on, along with all our other shows. This is lgradio.online. Thanks for listening.